All right. How do I pronounce your name?
Cerulli.
Cerulli.
Cerulli. I look like I have a big Italian last name.
Cerulli.
How many ways will they find to screw us in Hartford with this new legislature starting today?
You got a lot, about 26 billion ways.
Wow.
26 billion.
Damn,
is that
McDonald's.
The budget?
That will be, well, 50 billion will be the whole because it's a 2-year budget, but 26 billion a year, probably a little bit more than that, actually. 26 billion was what it was last year.
Isn't that bananas?
Damn, man.
I mean, think about the size of the state.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy, too. I always say to people, there's 187 of these legislators. They go in for 6 months. Most of them only work about 3 days a week at the legislature. So 6 months, 3 days a week, they're going to spend $26 billion. Just think about that. Like, that's crazy. Like, there are massive corporations.
Oh, I love that math. Yeah. Are you going to do that? You do in your coverage?
I do, because
what does that come down to per day, what they're spending per day while they're on the job?
It's less than half a year of work, of 40-hour work weeks. It's and you think about big corporations, they don't even spend, you know, $26 billion in that period of time. So the legislature, and these are part-time legislators, and there's benefits to having, you know, part-time legislators, people who have real jobs, operate small businesses, but it is always a shocking thing to think about just the volume of money that they'll spend in 6 months.
But that's all they think about when they go there is how can we spend money? And they think every problem will go away by writing out a check.
Right.
And it's not true.
And even the ones who talk about and say, well, we need to be fiscally responsible. And I don't doubt that they're sincere when they say that. You'll see, and particularly, so there's the budgeting process, which is the taxes that obviously they get from people. Then there's a whole other process called bonding, which is borrowing. It's the state's credit card. And as much as some people will say, hey, I really care about fiscal responsibility, when it comes time to build the big list of money, of things they want to borrow money for, everyone's asking for a new Little League field, you know, repave the interchange in my district, you know, all of that stuff. So when it comes down to it, and I guess that's the point of having a representative government. Everyone's kind of selfish and wants their own cut of the pie.
Right.
And over time, that adds up to, you know, $26 billion a year plus, you know, billions in borrowing.
Mike Cerulli, he's the political reporter at News 8, and the legislative session begins today. What do you think they're going to take up first?
Well, they have to start the budgeting process now, basically. The governor will deliver his State of the State address today, and then in February, he'll come back in and deliver what's called a budget address. So they'll start talking about the budget now. But to be 100% honest with you, most of what happens in the first couple of months is just talking. They have these public hearings where they'll introduce bills, 95% of which will not pass and be signed into law. And they'll do, for example, and I heard you had Senator Ryan Fazio on the show, there'll be a dozen bills where they say, hey, we're going to lower your energy costs. So come up to the Capitol and testify and say, we want lower energy costs. And I would be surprised.
They don't know how to do this.
Well, I'd be surprised if one of those kind of flashy bills gets passed in this session. It's really tough.
They don't have an answer for it.
They don't have an answer. I will say, I interviewed State Representative Jonathan Steinberg from Westport. He's a Democrat. He's the top House Democrat that deals with energy issues. And one of the first things he said to me, we were talking about energy, he said, we shouldn't pander to voters and tell them that we have a solution for this that we'll be able to do in the next 6 months. And it's one of the most honest things a politician has ever said to me. He's just like, we can't, you're being pandered to if someone's telling you there's an easy fix to this.
There isn't. You know, that public benefits shenanigans and the bill, if that went away, that would help. Mine was $75 this month.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are, you know, Senator Fazio calls them, they basically fund programs that otherwise would be things that they discuss now in the budget. So Fazio wants to take it from the budget or from the public benefits charge from your bill and put it through the budget. The problem with that is you would still end up paying for those programs because the Democrats control the legislature. They want these programs in the first place. And so you might just have, you know, either something, some other program you have to take money from, or your taxes will just go up. Same thing with another solution to that I've heard proposed, which is that the state should offer a tax credit equal to, basically you can write off on your state income tax equal to your public benefits charge. And again, it's like, where's the money for that going to come from? Probably from you, right?
Yeah, we need a government efficiency department,
right?
You know, we just need a couple people to come in and just start crossing through stuff in the budget.
Right?
It's bananas.
Every time they look under a rock, you have Sean Scanlon on this show a lot. He took a look at the spending patterns of the head of the state college.
The comptroller.
Yeah, the comptroller. just took a look at the credit cards that they give to the head of the state college system. So not UConn, but like Western and Central and the community colleges.
Yeah.
They found they spent like $20,000 over 2 years or something like that on food. You know, going to Capitol Grill, going to nice restaurants in Hartford. And it really, it's shocking. And there are state auditors. There is the comptroller's office. But there needs to be more done, I think, on sort of exposing some of these things. It's part of our job, too. It's what we will be.
Are you going to be going after them?
I try to. And it's
When you say you try.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You try and then somebody says, hey, we're not going to give you any interviews if you keep this up.
There is some of that. There is some of it where you just have to plant yourself. You know, when the Bridgeport absentee ballot, the ballot stuffing scandal happened and nobody was commenting, you just show up to Wanda's house and you stand on the front lawn there and you wait till someone talks to you. And we got an interview with her husband and he kind of told us off. But there are points when you just have to you plant yourself somewhere and say, I'm going to, you know, these are public places. Anyone can go up to the legislature. That's the legislator that we want to talk to about that issue. We can just follow them if we want to.
Yeah.
So you have to do that. But I will say, like, on the energy thing, on Monday of this week, Eversource invites all the political reporters up to their headquarters for the presentation that they give to the legislators, that they give to local mayors and first selectmen. And it is this process of they kind of wrap their arms around you and they say, look, we're not really the bad guys here. We really are. Our hands are tied in all this situation. And you really do as a reporter have to watch out for, because who are these PR people? They're all former reporters. They're all former legislators and stuff like that. So you have to watch out for that influence of, like, you know, watch who's buying you a cup of coffee. Watch who's, you know, hey, maybe we got a job here one day. That's how they do it. It's not necessarily like.
But they box you out if you do a tough story on them.
Sure.
We've had that here. We do a tough interview and then they don't come on anymore.
Totally.
And they don't have to. They don't have to.
Yeah.
And they have really no one to answer to.
Yeah. That's what, the voters, pretty, but how effective is that?
The Democrats have built a pretty good machine in this state.
And the districts, a lot of the districts are drawn to favor, you know, certain political parties so that once you get picked by the handful of people who pick who runs for these things, you're set.
That's right. And they know they can vote, you know, yes, right, all the way down every single time. They're going to get reelected.
Yeah. So it's a bind when it comes to these issues when you have, you know, kind of one party control. But
Mike Cerulli.
That's it.
Cerulli.
Yes, sir.
Cerulli.
Yay.
He's the political reporter for News 8. Are you the chief correspondent now?
I don't have the chief title. I've always thought the chief title was, because there's only one of me that focuses on politics. Then we have Dennis House who does the anchoring.
Right.
So I'm like, what am I the chief of?
You know? Right. So when they were calling Mark Davis chief, he wasn't really chief. He was just, all right, Mark, you've been here for a while, so we'll give you chief.
I think there was a point in time when there was a person who were, when Jody Latina may have overlapped with Mark, she was the political reporter, he was the chief correspondent. But Mark,
that makes sense.
Mark did that job longer than I've been alive, so he deserves the chief title.
Senator Sampson, statement on Connecticut DEI practices. You know what DEI is, AJ? Yeah.
Do everything.
It's, do you know what DEI stands for?
No idea.
It's a Department of what?
Diversity, equity,
diversity,
inclusion.
Equity and inclusion.
Ah, yes, see? Sir. Yeah. Second guess.
So we have a new office of this now.
We do. We do.
The person's going to get paid $175,000 a year plus Cadillac benefits.
Yes. Those benefits are important because those are the things that really add up over time.
Right.
So not that the $175,000.
Yeah, $175,000 a year.
Right.
And this is to what? Just to, what are they going to do?
Well, they say, right, when you go to the press conferences, they say that it is to sort of review the state's hiring practices, the state's promotion practices to make sure, as the acronym suggests, that there is diversity, equity, and inclusion. The original plan, I think, had been to hire like one of these people for every state agency. Which there's like 2 dozen state aid, more than that.
Bananas.
It is, I interact with state government all the time. I think it's a pretty diverse group of people, you know. And I think that's one of the points the Republicans made is they said, well, if you're just putting out.
Shouldn't we hire the best people?
I would think. I mean.
Sure.
That's how a company operates.
I work in a very meritocratic environment. If I do a bad job on TV. No more Mike on TV. Right?
You know, I always go back to sports teams. They put the best people on the field.
Yeah.
That's it. We're out here trying to win. You put the best people on the field. It's not if you're black, white, Asian, whatever.
No.
It's the bet. Your
ability.
Who's going to get the ball down the field, or who's going to hit the home run?
Exactly.
Who's going to get the puck in the net?
Right.
That's what it's about. That's what it should be about.
And for those, I know we're on the radio right now, but you know, I'm Asian, right? So I understand the value of, you know, seeing people who look like you in positions of power and whatnot. But ultimately, I would like to be judged just on, you get on TV, can you look into a camera? Can you stare? Can you talk into a microphone?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
How old are you?
23.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. What is my hairline going back or something?
No.
It's unbelievable. You're so well spoken. Yeah. And so, you know what you're talking about, and you're a professional at 23.
Well, thank you.
AJ, what were you doing at 23?
I was unemployed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoking weed.
Smoking weed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Cruising.
Yeah. All right, but here's another story. UConn law professor was arrested in a prostitution sting. Did you see this?
I saw it. I think we might. Did we cover it? Is that a News 8 story? Or is that who reported that?
He didn't cover it.
I got it from Channel 3.
Yeah, I did not personally.
You guys probably covered it.
Yeah.
So this guy, Ronald Murphy, 56, out of Farmington.
Mm-hmm.
According to TransparencyCT.gov, Murphy earned $1,618 in his role at UConn during the fiscal year. I mean, this guy's pulling down big money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably, does he have tenure and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's what? What was the charge? He was prostitution?
He got caught up in a prostitution sting.
Ah, right. Jeez.
Oh, but the amount of money these people are making that, you know, if you look in a government website, they wouldn't be listed as an elected official.
No.
They're just someone who's like a hired gun to come in to speak at a college.
Right.
They're making crazy money.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That much money, huh? Wow.
Yeah. Well, I hope you, I hope they let you loose.
You know what? I think they, at News 8, they always want sort of more aggressive reporting. And Mark Davis, to talk about Mark Davis,
right.
He's someone who would just, I would characterize it, would just sit there and argue with Dan Malloy sometimes. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, I'm 23, like one of the things I talk to the older political reporters about is, back in the day, there used to be like 20 people up there running around the Capitol, competing with each other for stories, so that competition made everybody more aggressive. Now there's maybe half a dozen of us who focus full time on politics. I'm by far the youngest of that group. So for me, it's mostly just my own kind of ambition to get good stories and be tough on
people. Top the last one, yeah.
Yeah, whereas back in the day, I think it used to be like, hey, we got to beat Channel 3 to this, or the Current has to beat the Post to this. Now it's more, there's less of that competition.
And we need to bring that back, don't we?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and it's tough to bring that back because there's not going to be more media. Like, the media business, as we all know, you know, is consolidating more. So I just look at it as my job to kind of be like, all right, well, in the absence of something that's going to, you know, naturally cause that, I just have to do it, you know, kind of myself and be a little bit more
go on and inform us, get us all fired up, get us calling our representatives.
One of the things I want to do this year is I want to point the camera away from the politicians and at the big crowd of lobbyists that come to the Capitol every
year. That's great.
Yeah,
and it is like, it shocks people. Like, I've given people little tours of the Capitol, and there are literally these velvet ropes that are outside the House chamber. I'll send you guys a picture of it today, of outside the House chambers where these people stand and literally grab these lawmakers on their way to the bathroom. And people go, who are these people? And I go, they're lobbyists. And there are lobbyists for Eversource. And there's lobbyists for the state professors that we talked about. And that's not to say any of these people don't have like valid claims. Like, if I was a professor, I'd want someone advocating for me. But it's like, where's the Joe in West Haven, you know, Mary in East Hartford, where are their lobbyists? Supposed to be the
187. Follow the money. Yeah, when you come up there with a tremendous amount of money, all of a sudden you get a lot of eyes and ears on your issue.
100%.
Money.
I was in a bar in Hartford some years back, and I started talking to a couple lobbyists, and they said a lot of these bills that come through, we have to read them and tell the legislators what's in it.
One thing you will hear from legislators when you say, hey, why do you take meetings with lobbyists? Is they'll say, well, they're the experts on a subject. And there's some validity to that, right? When you have a part-time legislature, they don't know who to pick up the phone and call if they need to learn about, like, how, you know, waste recycling systems work. They have to call the person who has, but then it's like, well, do you trust everything that person says?
That's
they obviously
right.
have an agenda. And that's always interesting that the lawmakers sometimes look at the lobbyists, and they're nice people. Like, if you sat and had a beer with them, they're nice guys and whatever, but you know, if they're all the lawmakers talk to, which they're not, but an outsized amount of lawmaker time is spent dodging lobbyists.
You have a really important job in this state. And you grew up here.
I grew up here in Trumbull, and I, you know, like.
But as a political reporter, you have an important job.
Right? Yeah.
And when you start making an impact, you're going to get calls from people saying, Mike, you're going a little too hard on us on this one. You have to put your foot down on the gas pedal and go harder. That means you're getting close.
Yep. There was a couple of those during the Bridgeport absentee thing when they caught, obviously, on camera. The redo election, what I was really interested in is which Democrats are going down there and endorsing Ganim and all that. And I went on like Saturday mornings to these like little Democratic gatherings of that. And I would take pictures of Susan Bicewicz or Blumenthal or Scanlon endorsing Ganim. And I would tweet it and I would say, Bicewicz is here. She's endorsed him. And I would get, what are you doing on a Saturday morning, you know, following these guys around? And it's not like obviously didn't change anybody's mind, but and it's not my goal to try to change someone's mind. It's my goal to show people what's happening. But I thought it was interesting that after all we'd seen from that situation, and you had Democrats for a year talking about democracy and defending democracy, that basically every major Democrat went down and fell in line there.
And follow the money.
Yep.
Yeah.
We got to have you back. We'll talk about, because you got some interesting stuff in your card here. You're an interesting dude for 23, political reporter. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And you got a show on our sister station?
Yes, sir. On WICC, I pulled the short. I go 10 a.m. on Saturdays to 1 p.m. So if you find yourself with a free 3 hours on Saturdays, I have mostly politicians on. I interview them. So
good. And it's a good place to start.
True.
Yeah. And News 8 is a tremendous place to start.
Yes.
You know what? I was texting with Alyssa Taglia this morning, complaining to her about having to wake up early. And I said, how do you do this every morning? And she told me to say hi to you guys. So she said, you're great.
Hey.
And it's all great people at News 8.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Give them hell.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, Mike.